If you've got your Bible, turn with me to the book of Romans, chapter number 5. Book of Romans, chapter number 5. And while you're turning there, I want to say it's good to be in the Lord's house.
Amen.
And I do thank God again for all the songs, for all the testimonies. What a blessing. Romans chapter 5, I'll begin reading in verse number 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. When we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly.
Amen.
For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us.
Amen.
Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him.
Amen.
For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life.
Sure.
Not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. And that's as far as I'll read this morning. I want you to look at a lot of the language that is in Romans chapter 5. He says, we have peace with God in verse number 1. Verse 2, we have access. And verse 3, we glory in tribulations. He tells us that Christ died for us. We were reconciled. We shall be saved by his life. All these things, and I'm thinking about, and you know, God commendeth his love. He's given us his love. What he has given us is what I'm concentrating on this morning. What is given us by God? When we think about all that God has given unto us, the greatest gift, of course, we know is his Son. All of these gifts that God has given unto us, they come through his Son. His Son is the gift. His Son is the gift of life that God has given unto us. So this great gift that God has given unto us, eternal life, all of it is given unto us, promised to us through the Son of God. When I look at this chapter, he starts it out by saying, therefore, being justified. And of course, everybody's heard the saying, when you see the word therefore, you want to know what it's there for. And that's a good saying. It connects chapter 5 with chapter 4. And he spent chapter number 4, Paul wrote and devoted that whole chapter teaching about how you and I have justification by faith. how that we are justified by faith. You can read the whole chapter. He illustrates how we're justified by faith, how justification, how justifying faith is defined. He defines it, and how that it's separate from the law. The law didn't justify us. It's separate from the law. And so he spends the whole chapter teaching and writing about how justification comes by faith. Not by the works of the law, not by our own hands, not by our own deeds, not by our own goodness, not by anything that we have done. Are you listening? We are justified by faith. So when he says, therefore, we see Paul is talking about that justification, being justified by faith. Therefore, being justified by faith. It is settled, in other words. After chapter 4, Paul has given them enough to let them know it is settled that we are justified by faith. There is no more argument. There cannot be any argument. You read chapter 4, and it is a very clear definition. It's a very biblical argument of justification by faith. It reveals that that is what God has given unto us always from the beginning. Old Testament or now new. They were always justified by faith. The Hebrew may have thought they were justified by the deeds of the law, but Paul proved to them that it was always justification by faith. So he says, therefore, being justified by faith. Now, what does it mean to be justified? We're talking about being justified this morning. It means to render someone just or innocent. To render one that is guilty now just and innocent, justified. I remember the first time I heard this statement, it was a black preacher is the one that said it. He said, justified means just as if I had never sinned. Justified. Justified, never sinned. That's how he put it. We are justified, made innocent. Not somebody that was guilty and is now innocent. Justification brings you and I into a place as if we were never guilty. Completely justified by His blood. Justified by faith. Then that faith is reliance upon Christ for salvation. It's the consistency of trust. You and I trusting Christ, amen, justified by faith. And that is that consistent faith, amen. We believe now, we believe we always shall be by Him. It is always Him, by Him, and we always shall be. Amen. Justified. That is faith. We are justified by faith. We have peace with God. Amen. The supreme divinity. The one that always sits upon the throne. God, the Father. Christ has come down. Listen. He is the Lord in the burning bush. The Lord that passed by Moses, amen. He is the Savior that came. He's the one always presenting Himself to man. But God, He is that supreme God. Are you listening to me? The supreme divinity that abides upon the throne, that thunders His voice from heaven. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. He is the Lord. Amen. He said that we have peace with God through our Lord, Jesus Christ. That word Lord means He is our Master. He is supreme in authority. That's His respectful title. Do you know that? Lord. Do we call Him Lord today? I mean, we know Him as Jesus, Savior, but do you know Him as Lord? We give Him that respectful title. He is Lord, whether you give it to Him or not. He is Lord. Amen. He is Master. Many of them in the New Testament referred to Him as Master. Lord. Amen. Supreme authority. Jesus, Jehovah, is salvation is His name. Amen. Savior. When the angel said, "Thou shalt call His name Jesus, for He shall save His people from their sins." That's what His name means. Jehovah is salvation. Savior. And Christ, the Anointed One, the Messiah. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, the Anointed Messiah. Verse 2 says we have access. Look at this. By whom also we have access. We have justification, but now we have access. We have admission. Amen. By faith. That's the persuasion. By faith, fully persuaded, you and I enter God's grace through Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace. See, the access is into this grace wherein we stand. That is the access you and I have. It's wonderful that we've got access, but then to find out where we have access to. We have access to the throne of grace, sure we do, but we have access in the grace of God. Amen? Access, we have admission by Christ, amen, into this grace, this graciousness of God, God's divine influence upon the heart. You see, it's God's grace that teaches us. You see how it influences us? God's grace, the grace of God that bringeth salvation, hath appeared unto all men, teaching us. See, now, after it brings salvation, it influences the heart.
That's right.
It teaches us to deny ungodliness and worldly lust. It is a reflection in our life. That's how you know that somebody's truly saved and standing in this grace, when you can see God's grace reflecting in their life. It reflects in our life. The very Word of God, the very love of God. Amen? You and I have these things, and it's because the grace that you and I have access to. The graciousness of God. A lot of time when we see God's grace, we just see it as, you know, God's riches at Christ's expense. And oh, that's wonderful. I mean, God's riches, I mean, that's everything. He's give us everything. But when you think about the property of grace and what it does, are you listening to me? God's graciousness to us, His divine influence, again, upon the heart, it causes you and I, listen, to rejoice in hope, that expectation, amen, wherein we stand. We rejoice in hope because of the grace. Grace helps us to rejoice in hope. It teaches us to hope.
Amen.
The grace of God teaches you and I to hope. We don't look for destruction. We don't look for punishment. We stand fast in hope. That's grace that teaches us to hope. Amen. Wherein we stand. Now I love what he said, how he said this. By whom also we have access by faith into this grace. wherein we stand. We stand in this grace. It means that we continue safely. Amen. That's eternal life, by the way. We continue safely. We stand. We abide. You remember when Jesus talked about us? Abide. If any man abide, that's wherein we stand. Amen. When wherein we stand by His grace. We abide. We abide by His grace. It's not something I've decided to do. Grace has done it for me. It has put you and I in the position of standing safely. Amen? He makes you and I stand safely. We continue in covenant. Amen? Not that I am keeping covenant. Grace puts us in the covenant wherein we stand. Thank God. We are kept intact. That's what stand means. To be kept intact. I don't know how many scriptures in the Bible that you'll find that says continue. If you continue. If you do. That's to be kept intact. See, we're kept. We are kept by His grace. Amen. Kept intact means we don't fall apart. Amen. Amen. Your salvation ain't going to fall apart tomorrow. Your hope ain't going to fall apart the next week. Amen. God said by His grace, wherein we stand, God is able to make you stand, is what the Bible said. God's able to keep you intact. Amen. He's able to keep you saved. He's able to keep you saved. Amen. Look what we have in God's grace. We have a standing. Amen. Wherein we stand. Thank God for that. And rejoice in hope of the glory of God. That expectation. That confidence. We rejoice in hope. We have a confidence of expectation. Verse 3, he said, and not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience. That's that cheerful or hopeful endurance that he gives us, a constancy. Amen? In verse 4, he said that, and patience experience, and experience hope. The experience that he gives you and I. That word means a test by implication. We are put through these things in God's grace. Listen, grace that gives hope. Amen. Tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience. Grace is working experience in your life. You've got more Christian experience right now than you had when you were first saved. Experience. You've been tested. Amen. You've been tried. Amen. What does the Bible say? He talks about a trustiness, amen? That's what he's talking about. That experience brings trustiness, which is faith. More faith. More trusting in Him. What did the Old Testament said? Let's hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments. See, when you go through something, you have experience. That's how he knew the conclusion of the whole matter. What they had went through, he said, now let's just hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments. This is the whole duty of man. You and I endure these things and we gain experience. And experience brings that trustiness to Him. That what we know to trust Him. we know to follow Him. That experience brings that hope again. It brings us right back around to hope. Tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed. See the hope, we started out with hope, and it worked right around to hope again. We rejoice in hope in verse 2. We rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, patience experience, and experience hope. We have hope today. God has given you and I a blessed hope. Amen. A hope in Christ. And it's in the grace wherein you and I stand. Amen. That patience and experience that works in our life brings hope, which is drawn out. It's drawn out because of something else. That experience. Hope is drawn out of our life through experience. Trustiness, faith, stronger faith is drawn out of our life through experience. The Christian life, listen, living in this world, but being not of the world, amen? Living in the world, but not being of the world. We go through experience. Think of the 3 years the disciples were with our Lord, of the experience that they gained. Sleeping in the Mount of Olives instead of in a house. Eating most of the time only when the Lord ate. And sometimes that could be days at a time. But then what a miracle feast. What our Lord would do, that they would trust in Him. That He could walk on water, bring water out of a rock. Amen. He can do all things. He wants to bring you and I through these experiences. That's where we stand in His grace. Amen. We are going to stand in these experiences, but we're standing, remember, you're standing in His grace. It's like the hedge that's around us. Amen. God's grace is that hedge where you and I are kept intact. You need to remember that. Amen. Hope maketh not ashamed. It doesn't shame us down. Listen, the world and Satan wants to shame us down. Hope maketh not ashamed. The devil, you try to tell somebody about the Lord and see if the devil don't try to make you feel ashamed. Hope maketh not ashamed. If you've really got that hope, you can look somebody in the eye with all confidence and say, Jesus is coming soon. Are you ready? Amen. My Lord is coming. Amen. Salvation is of the Lord by His blood. I know that. Being born again. Amen. I'm on the winning side. You're on the winning side. We have hope in God's Word. We're not ashamed to shame down. Hope does the opposite. Hope brings confidence. Hope builds confidence. Hope maketh not ashamed because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost which is given us. I'm almost done. Hope maketh not ashamed. It gives you and I confidence because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts. It's put forth. It's bestowed upon us. Again, it's another thing that God's grace has divinely influenced in our life. It is teaching us of His love, which by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. The Holy Spirit is given unto us. And what it means that the Holy Ghost was given to you and I. That He just said, here, take Him. Here you go. It's more than that. It's to give us, the Holy Ghost, to give to one's advantage. It's to give to one's advantage. Do you know having Him in our life gives us a great advantage? Amen. Think about walking without Him. Then think about walking with Him. Amen. Think about not having Him in here directing you. And then think about all the direction He gives you. Hey, we've got great advantage today. Amen. He's given to us for advantage. He's given unto us as a necessary thing. Oh yes, He's necessary. Amen. He is necessary. You and I will never have someone any more than Him as necessary in our life. Listen, we can do without a lot of people, but we can't do without Him. Jesus said, I go away that He can come. Amen. He gives us Him like He gives us necessary things. And it's not just the Holy Spirit. Listen, it's His grace that He has given. That's a necessary thing. Amen. He gives as to give one asking. You remember what Jesus said about asking? He said, you have not because you ask not, because you ask amiss, that you might consume it upon your own lust. In the New Testament, he said again, Jesus said in the four Gospels, ask and it shall be given unto you, seek and you shall find. He told how many times to ask. He said, ask. Ask. He said, if you ask an egg, will He give you a serpent? So He said, God will give the Holy Ghost unto them that ask. Amen. He's talking about as giving one that's asking to reach out to give from oneself. Now listen, only God can completely give His self to you and I and still be in heaven. Our Lord has given us His Spirit. He has given from Himself to you and I. Think about that. The love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Holy Ghost, listen, operates inside you and I. Listen. Using the grace of God to influence us, to teach us, to abound His love in us. Right. Amen? The Spirit of God, He bears witness with us, doesn't He? Oh yes, He does. He bears witness with us. All that He has given us, for when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for them. He died for us. Amen. He died. That natural death, a bodily death, He died a violent death. And we could say the spiritual death. He went into the parts of hell, didn't He? Not only the physical, but the spiritual. Went into the parts of hell. That's a spiritual death for man. Not just a physical, but a spiritual. But he was victorious over death in all its forms. Are you listening to me? The I Am. Amen. The Savior. Jesus, the Savior. Our Lord, our Master. Amen. He's master over death. That's why he could speak and raise Lazarus from the dead. He's master over death. He's master over everything. Whatever's in our life, whatever thing comes our way, listen, he can very well master that. Do you know that? For scarcely, rarely, would a righteous man, for a righteous man, that's an innocent, somebody that's innocent, would one die. God commendeth his love. I'm done right here. God commendeth. That means by way of presenting him. God commendeth his love toward us. In that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. When God commended his love toward us, he walked his son to Calvary and said, "Here he is." His love toward us. He brought him to Calvary and said, "Here he is, my demonstration of love toward you. This is how much I love you." God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners. I mean, you and I, we were wicked, stained with wicked devices, bound by sin. Amen. Enemies in verse 10. Opposing God. Hostile. Hating. But he still presented him to us as his love. Amen. Christ was God's love in the flesh. Amen. What God hath given unto us. Verse 11, and not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ. There he is again. He is our everything. I don't know how better to say it. By whom we have everything. Amen. Now received the atonement. Amen. Through Christ, we have been given the atonement. Amen. Oh my. One verse after another, what God is saying, this is what I've given you. You see how it's given, how we're kept. How that God, listen, it'd be like what I'm trying to illustrate to you is, it'd be like me saying to John, "John, I'm going to give you everything I have. I'm going to do everything for you. But never interact in any way. Never see him again. Never talk to him again. Never influence him again." God doesn't do that to us. When God makes us a son, when he saves us, when he justifies us, when he puts his grace with us, God is now, you want to say proactive? more than that, God moves into our life. Amen. He comes to take over.
Amen.
Amen. He comes to live in us.
Amen.
Not just to tell us by way of a piece of paper this is what I've done to you. And we as sinners look at it from a fine distance. No, God is very engaged with you and me and what He has given unto us. Amen. What a blessing. I want you to stand.